morning. It's a privilege to be here. I met a few disappointed people this morning and said, where's the picture? Well, you can just look at all this beautiful picture of these fellows up here this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're coming into the season of Thanksgiving, and I'm going to get you on that Thanksgiving thought this morning. And because I understand you've only got two chapel services left, right? All right, so we'll try and get you in the mood. This microphone was made for a tall guy. Luke chapter 17, that's the story I want to share with you today. Some of you, it's a familiar story. And in verse 11 of Luke chapter 17, follow along as I read. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that's Jesus, and as he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you today that you've given us so much. And God, you want us to be thankful whether we have much or whether we have little. Whether times are good or whether times are bad, you want us to be thankful. God, help us to be people that not only are thankful at this time of year, Lord, but also throughout our entire life, every day, God, because you have done so much for us. I pray you'd bless us as we look into your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message this morning is taken right from the text. Our Lord Jesus himself gave the title, Where Are the 9? It's a question that goes down through the corridors of history, an unanswered question. Jesus asks, where are the 9? There's no answer to this, and yet the question remains unanswered to this day. Were there not 10 cleansed, he said, where are the 9? As Jesus is walking now, he's traveling with disciples to go down, where does it say? To Jerusalem, verse 11. And he passed through the midst of Samaria into Galilee. Samaria and Galilee. And that was something, as some of you know already, that Jesus did something the average Jewish individual would not have done, and that was to go through Samaria. It was their idea to go around. In fact, you know how long of a journey that was, some of you, all the way around Samaria, because they despised the Samaritans. Now, Jesus didn't think too much of that tradition. And he went through the midst of Samaria. Why? Because as God's son, as God in the flesh, he knew there was those 10 men over there. So as he entered into a certain village, and it's unnamed village, there were 10 men which were lepers. Now when you think of this question this morning, where are the 9 that Jesus asked? There were 10 cleansed, where are the 9? The first thing that we need to do as Christians, as we look at this morning, I want to point out a couple of things. That you should, when you're realizing you need to be a grateful person, a thankful person, the first thing you must do is remember your past condition. Yeah. In verse 12, it says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men which were lepers. Now, if you understand the Old Testament law, you know that a leper could be a wealthy person. It could be the most prominent person in a village, in a city. It could have been a leader. It could have even been the king himself. Or leader of any type, or could have been the poorest person in society. But when leprosy came, it was a dreaded disease. It didn't matter what you had, where you lived, it was stripped away. Because you were forced to leave the community. Because it was so, and there are still countries in the world that have leprosy. Thank God we don't have it here in the U.S. We have other diseases like ungratefulness. But we have this leprosy that a fellow would get, and he would have to leave. Let's say if a father of 5 children had leprosy, he'd have to leave his home and family. And he'd have to go perhaps with a bunch of other lepers. Now, these fellows were joined together because that was all they had left in common. No job, no place to intermingle with society. When they did come in contact with healthy people, they would have to yell out, as you know, unclean, unclean, to know that other people didn't want to come close to them because their disease, all they had to look forward to was death. In the meantime, they couldn't be with their families. They couldn't watch their children grow up. They wouldn't be able to watch their daughter learn to take her first steps, to hear her, hear his son or daughter say, "Dad, Dad," for the first time, to be able to go for a walk, to take your wife out for a walk or your husband out for a walk. They were shunned from society. They lived in caves. They lived in houses, perhaps with a sign on the door that said "Leprous Colony." So they had nothing to look forward to except death. That was the end. There was no cure. See, the problem with some of us is that we don't remember where we would be without Christ. And somehow, after a while, see, if I were to give, let's say this, let's say you had a wealthy neighbor, and your neighbor decided, "I'm going to give you $100 today." And he gave each of you $100. And he did that tomorrow, and he did that the next day, and he did that the next day, and he did that the next day. Well, he did that for 3.5 years. He gave each of you $100. Wouldn't that be great? Well, at the end of 3.5 years, let's say all of a sudden he didn't give you the $100. You'd be like, "Where's my $100, bub? Pay up. What about the $100 you're supposed to give me?" See how ridiculous that is? But so many times God gives us things that we just think that, well, we got it coming, or it's just what happens. Because I'm alive. I'm just a person, and I'm entitled to this, or I have a right to this. But so we begin to think that somehow we're better than somebody else. But would to God this morning, every one of us would be like a leprous person. In fact, there's a parallel here to the person who doesn't know Christ. Yeah. They have nothing to look forward to but death. And what little things they have here in this earth is only here for a time, and it's only going to get worse, you see. Everything good, the Bible tells us, comes from God. Amen. Death is the ultimate end. And this is a picture of those of us that don't know. Hopefully there's no one here that doesn't know Christ as our Savior. We will not assume that. But leprosy is very similar. There's a parallel there. You see, the problem is that we remember what we should forget as the child of God. And then we forget what we should remember. To every one of the churches, to everyone except one in the Revelation, God told John, as you now on Patmos, each of those six of the seven churches, remember from whence you have fallen. Yeah. To remember, because when you remember, you know, the Israelites remembered all those leeks and onions. Remember in Egypt? That's the things the Bible named. I mean, you can have your leeks and onions. They had milk and honey. That's a whole lot better. But you see, they forgot about the slavery they were in. So they forget. And that's what we do. So if you're going to be a grateful person here this morning, and to help answer that question, where are the nine? The first thing you've got to do is remember our past condition, where we were. You say, "Brother Matt, is it wrong to look behind?" There's two different ways in the Bible that you look behind. One is to look behind and to wish, "Oh, I wish I had the leeks and onions, if it were. I wish I had some of the things that were back there." But there is, and that's not good, but there is a time where you need to look back and see what God has done for you. In the Old Testament, they had a book of remembrance. I'm glad they had a book of remembrance because somebody had sense enough to write those down in some of the books we have in our Bible. Thank God for that. The things that God did so the children that came along could say, "Hey, this is, what about these stones over here?" Well, read in the book. It says that they were brought out of the middle of the Jordan, and a child could look at the Jordan and see those rocks out there in the middle of the water and see that those rocks were the same style rocks, same composition, and the ones way up here on the hill, and there's 12 of them. Now, how did they get there? And there's so much current. How could they have got them out? Well, they came over on dry ground. So there were ways that all through the nation of Israel, all through history, people have done things to help them remember. A book of remembrance. You know, y'all should, as you're in college, y'all should have a book where you should write down the miracles God's doing for you in a book. Write them down somewhere, what God did for you. I lost my cell phone this week. I was raking leaves this week. We were on 20 different jobs in the last week, lawns. Well, we got to the third job day before yesterday, and I didn't have my cell phone. Now, we've been taking leaves all day to the landfill, and I knew what happened. Every 20 minutes, the loader comes up, picks up the leaves, puts them on top of the pile, and then we come back and we got to empty another load. And I was with Brother Brandon Jenkins here 2 days ago, and we brought in four loads, went to the next job, brought in three loads, went to the next job, you know, the landfill back and forth. And it occurred to me that I hadn't seen my cell phone since we were in the first job. So I didn't know where to start. You know, make a long story short, we went back to the landfill. That was where the phone was. It was buried underneath 6 inches of dirt and a big loader tire right over top of it. And we heard it ringing underground. And it was at the landfill. God is an amazing God. You know, I'm going to forget about that if I don't write it down. And it's hard with each day we forget. So it's good, important to write it down. You know, in the Bible, remember is mentioned 146 times in the Bible. Remember, remember, remember. And it's mentioned all throughout God's world. God wants us to remember what he's done in our life, because that is the first step to being a grateful person. Because we just go right on thinking, oh, this is just part of life. No, it's not. There's a lot of people that don't have what we have. Not to mention salvation. And you know, unfortunately, what has to happen, God has to do what he's doing with many people in America right now, taking some of the things away, taking some of the money we had, some of the blessings we've had as a country, and giving us some tough time to let us remember, hey, we're not entitled to all this. This doesn't just come as part of life. We're coming to this life naked, and we'll go out naked. I mean, anything we've got extra than that is because of God's almighty hand. So we should remember. Turn, if you will, to Deuteronomy 8 this morning. We're going to move along quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 8. There's a warning here in Deuteronomy chapter 8 I want to show you. When, number one, remember our past condition. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verse 7 it says, "For the Lord God bringeth thee to a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills." So he's describing the land. In verse 11, he says, "Beware." Now, I've got a sign on my door, my house. It says, "Beware of dog." How many of you met my dog before? All right? And it says, "Beware of dog." You know why? Because if you cross that line, you're going to get bit, right? Listen to what it says here, verse 11. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you this day." Look at verse 12. "Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and thy herds and thy flocks multiplied, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee," and he goes on, "who did all these things. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God," in verse 18, "for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant." Well, I've got a job because I'm smarter and better than everybody else. No, it's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. We have what we have. And you know, it's we're by nature very proud people. I worked hard to get this house. Without God, you could do nothing. And some of us have to go back to nothing to realize anything I get is from God. We must remember our past condition. Then secondly, I want you to notice to recognize the power of the Savior. If you go back to our text this morning in Luke chapter 17, it says about these lepers that they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." And when he saw them, I like this. Jesus saw them. When we have a need in our life, folks, God sees us. He sees it. Nothing goes without his notice. I like that thought. That he saw them. Now, he saw them the same way he saw them in Matthew chapter 5, when it says he saw the multitudes and he went on a mountain and had compassion on them and gave them the Sermon on the Mount. He saw them. So we want to recognize the power of the Savior in verse 15. Here they come. Here they come. They lifted up their voices. They knew who it was, but they yelled from afar off, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And Jesus bypasses the old law. Listen to what the old law was. If by some miraculous touch of God you were healed from leprosy, you had to go and have the priest examine you to make sure you were really healed, and he would pronounce you clean. Now today, as Christians, Jesus, our Savior, pronounces us clean and pure from sin when we come to Him. He's the only one that can do that. Nobody else can do that. He pronounces them clean. But in this case, Jesus said to them, while they were still covered with leprosy, go and show yourself to the priests. Well, this seems to be backwards, doesn't it? But he tells them to go, and it came to pass as they went by faith that it says, as they went, verse 14, they were cleansed. And one of them, I like this, when he saw that he was healed. When he saw. Some people still haven't seen what God has done for them. Some haven't seen it yet. I hope that doesn't depict you this morning, because no doubt it certainly depicts me most of the time. I don't see. But notice he recognized the power of the Savior, that this just wasn't any prophet. This was Jesus Christ. Now, what's very interesting of the nine that continued on, you can debate this with me if you want, but I want to show you this morning that one came back justified, probably from his sins, not just his leprosy, because he came back. You see, as he saw, he recognized the power of the Savior. The Bible tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. When we go through a difficult time in our life, I will challenge you to do these two things. Number one, remember your past condition. Now, some of you say, I don't have a past condition. I've been in church all my life. Then why don't you look around at your relatives, people outside of your inner circle that have never had the privileges you've had in a Christian home, and then say, that's what God saved me from. Instead of saying, I'm not sure what God saved me from. Look around, people. It's not that hard. And say, thank you, God, for your mercies to me. So remember your past condition. Then when you're tempted to be discouraged about the situation you're in, realize the power of the Savior. Folks, God is in every storm. The old prophet looked for God in the fire, in the wind, and he didn't see him, but afterward he's still small voice. See, in every situation, God wants us to look for him. See, God has done miracles already today for every one of you. The problem is, we've breezed right onto this portion of our day and we forgot it. We didn't even recognize him. You see, that's what happened. That's the tragedy of what happened with these nine men who went on. Oh, they were thankful. Sure, their lives were better. But folks, Jesus wasn't going to be around forever. He was on his way to the cross. And if you're going to thank him, you better do it now, because you're on your way to the grave. And you know what? You can praise God with this mouth right here today. Amen. But there is no praise verbally from the mouth in the body you live in today in heaven, because you're going to get a new body. David said, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Because I'm here right now with this voice that God created in his image, I can praise God with my voice. Isn't that wonderful? Man. What a privilege. Jesus was about to go to the cross. No doubt those other nine men were thankful. No doubt they were grateful. But folks, the one they could have thanked went to the cross for them, and they didn't have an opportunity anymore.
You're right.
This is the chance they had. So he recognized the power of the Savior. God has done many things for you. The problem is, we don't even see his hand. We don't even see his hand at work. Even through the struggles we have, hasn't God always come through for you before? So why are we doubting him now? At Thanksgiving time, we should recognize the power of the Savior. You know, the longer I live, the more I see God doing things moment by moment in my life. And leading me a particular direction, and I say, whoa. I look back and say, that's why that happened today. That's why that happened. And if you're saved here this morning, and God says that all of his thoughts toward you is the sand of the sea in multitude, and they're all good, by the way, that a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without his notice. He cares about you, and he is at work at everything that happens in your daytime. And a lot of them you got to thank him for. Why was I delayed today when I tried to leave? Well, God was protecting me from something. I mean, and I want to be in so control of the Holy Spirit that I let God lead me to places where I'm supposed to be and away from places where I'm not supposed to be, you see. But how grateful we should be that his hand is everywhere in our life. And even all the miracles that Jesus did. Now, I understand the Holy Spirit had not yet come. But his disciples missed Jesus doing a lot of amazing things that they weren't sure what he was up to. Okay, they just didn't. You have to look through life with the power of God's Spirit to see His hand at work everywhere, because He's doing a lot of things for you you're not even aware of. All good things come from God. All good things come from God, and He has all the answers to your problems and everything that's going on in your life. I know we say that, but folks, God's done it before. He can do it again. Recognize the power of the Savior. Then thirdly, rekindle your praise for Him. Rekindle your praise for Him. Be grateful and be observant to what He's doing in your life. I have argued the point for several years that ungratefulness is a sin. And I understand that that is a surface problem, that the root of an ungrateful spirit is someone who thinks they are entitled to something, which stems from the sin of pride. Stems from the sin of pride. That is the pride, that we are good. And the Bible says there's none good but God. The only reason there's any good in anyone is because God comes and lives inside of you and can bring that good and the power of His Spirit out in your life. But there is none good but God. Ungratefulness, I believe, is a sin, but the deeper root is there is pride. Sure. Well, I should be paid more than this. I deserve... No, wait a minute. We all got what we deserve. We know where we'd be this morning. Ungratefulness is a sin. These nine men went on. No doubt there was an audience that saw this great event. And this man, one, came back when he saw he was healed, turned back, glorified God, and fell down. Okay, I want you to look at those for a moment. He turned back. He stopped the direction he was going and went an entirely different one. Yeah. That's right there in the text. He turned back. He was going this way. He went another way. That's why I believe this was a conversion for this man. Right. I don't believe it was just thank you, Jesus. No, he received something more than his skin being put back to new. So he turned back. Then secondly, he glorified God. Now, you notice how grateful he is that he falls down. There's something about that in a repentant, humble heart, saying, God, You're sovereign. I am nothing. Why would you look upon such a dead dog as I, as he comes back? And he falls, what does it say, on his face, in front of those people who observed, on his face. He recognized the Savior and he praised his name. Listen, it says, giving him thanks. Oh, and I like this. Jesus says, oh, yeah. And he was a Samaritan. Don't forget that. One of those people y'all think you're better than. He was the one that came back. Now, we don't know anything about the other nine, what their descent was. But this one that came back was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. Folks, as you look for God in every situation, you'll find Him working on your behalf. I want to tell you this morning that ungratefulness is a national problem. It's a problem everywhere. It's among God's people. And, you know, one thing, I'll just throw this in for what it's worth. You ever done something for somebody and never got a thank you? Those of you that are here this morning preparing for ministry will spend a lifetime serving God, and your motives will be tested why you do what you do. Yep. Because the world is an ungrateful place. They'll take everything they can get and never stop to thank you. Sure. Preachers, you go to places, you'll preach, they'll take up a love offering for you and you'll never get it. You'll go to places where people will take and take and take and take. And unless you're hooked up to the source of all giving, you will never make it in the ministry. Because your motives will be tested. You know, I'm going to just throw this in for you college students. Be grateful to people. It goes a long way. It goes a long way. Do you know what is a lost art in our generation? Thank you notes. Thank you notes. Say, why do I got to do that? Because it's something written on a piece of paper that person can clutch and say, I'm glad I was a blessing today. And it encourages them. There's a lot of people in this room who have done a lot for you, and you've never told them thanks, much less ever written them a note. You say, well, why do I need to do that? Because it keeps you humble. My handwriting's not really that good, and I'm not a real good writer. Baloney. This man came back and fell down and thanked Jesus. How many people has Jesus touched? How many people has God used in your life to touch you because they were usable vessels. Those are people you ought to thank. You know, when I give to somebody, I know how God just keeps pouring good on everyone. But I know myself, I like to give to people that I know are grateful. And you know what's so cool? You say, is that biblical? Aren't you glad that Paul kept in touch with every church that gave to him, that he helped start? Aren't you glad? You wouldn't have the book of Philippians. You wouldn't have Ephesians. And you wouldn't have Romans if Paul hadn't written. You say, well, my hands are tired and I got a busy work schedule. I'm on the bus route and I'm busy and I'm gone all the time. I'm really busy. You know what? Paul was in prison chained. You ever tried to write with a chain on your arm? You think we had troubles. Missing meals, sitting in a dark cell was hard to read, probably couldn't see very good. I'm glad he wrote to those churches, aren't you? Missionary, as you prepare to go to the field, preacher, as you go, thank God for the people he's put in your life and thank some people. It goes a long way. You say, well, God did it through them. Yeah, but God uses people. And I find myself ready to give more when I get a little note that says, that really meant a lot to me. And down through my ministry, the people that I've kept in touch with, I don't do it so they give more, but they often do because they know it really met a need. And if I can specify what their giving did, what I used it for, I prayed for $10,000 for 3 years to produce a gospel chalk art DVD set and book. And one day a man called me and he said, you know, the Lord laid in my heart to write you a $10,000 check. I don't know what it's for. Do you know what it's for? And I'm telling you, I cried a drop of a hat because I knew what it was for. You know, I sent that guy a note and I said, this is where it went. And yes, God did it, but God used him. So thank some people along the way. Thank some people along the way. It's not by my might and my power, but by God's Spirit, saith the Lord. So I'll just throw that out for whatever it's worth. Folks, as you leave here this Thanksgiving time, write some notes to some people who benefited you here. Because without God working in our life, we don't know where we'd be. In conclusion this morning, I want to go back to the question that Jesus asked in Luke 17. He asked the question to ring out through all of eternity, where are the nine? Where are the nine? Where are the nine? Did you know it will strengthen your life if you are a grateful person? One thing they have found in common with every person to live over 100 years old. One common thing. They were all positive people. They were all thankful people. You want an early death? Just keep dishonoring your parents, being ungrateful to them for raising you and feeding you. Just keep being ungrateful to what God gives you, and God will say, you know what? It's time you come up here with me because you're doing more damage down there than you are good. You see, it can cause lots of problems. How dangerous that would be. And to think that God has given everything to us, and yet ultimately he even gave us his son. And yet, wow, how ungrateful we are sometimes. You may be here this morning and need to ask God to forgive you for being ungrateful. If you will, turn to Psalms as I close this morning. Psalm chapter 6. Psalm chapter 6. Gratefulness goes a long way in our world today. It goes a long ways. I believe it goes a long way with our Heavenly Father because he still asks each of you this morning, where are the nine? Where's everybody else? Where do the rest of those people go? They tell us that, you know, that you're only going to get a 1% return. A 1% return. In Psalm chapter 6, verse 5, it says, let's read this together. I'll make sure you all are awake. All right. Psalm chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. Here's the question. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? David asked this question. And as you go through Psalms, you see everything in there is praise to God. Now, he may not start out the chapter that way because, oh, Lord, he says in verse 3, how are they increased that trouble me? You know, give ear to my words, chapter 5. Chapter 4, hear me when I call. Chapter 6, rebuke me not in thine anger. But every time he ends with praise to God. Now, you say, wait a minute. I'm going to drop a bomb on you this morning. I've been talking about thanking God for positive things, all he's done for you. When you get good at that, start thanking God for the things that you don't like. Because it's those things that God will use to draw you closer to him on a new level. And when I look back at some of the tragedies in my life, I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful. And as of late, I've had to say, God, thank you for allowing that tragedy in my life. You know why? Because I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't. And God wants to hear you sing in his praises when you're thankful. But he also wants to hear you sing when things are difficult. When I don't know tomorrow how I'm going to pay that bill. God wants me to be thankful. He wants me to get off my bottom and do something as best I can. But God wants me to be thankful. Be thankful for the problems that come into my life. Because then that's going to be the true test of your Christianity. Am I thankful for the bad things? You say, how can I be thankful, Brother Matt? When you learn to look in the midst of the storm for the Savior, because he is there somewhere. Look for him. Look for him. And he has promised that all things work out for good. Thank God for the good and the bad. David starts out every one of these psalms nearly with a cry for help. Then he praises God. You say, did God do a miracle in between? I don't know that God changed his circumstances, but God did give him a song somewhere in between. Because he starts out crying out to God, have mercy upon me. My bones are vexed. Chapter 6. And he rejoices at the end of each of these psalms. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 150. And I'm going to close with this. Psalm 150. Each of these psalms is a praise to God. Each of them is a praise. And being thankful. One of the great things that God had against his people in the Old Testament was that they were not thankful. But they were vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In Psalm 150, it says, praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with high-sounding cymbals. Look at this part. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything that hath breath, praise him. Are you breathing this morning? That's something to be thankful for. Let's bow and pray.